Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Chris Cook. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Christine. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. This is Chris Cook, Director of Investor Relations for IBM. I'm here with Eric Clementi, IBM Senior Vice President, Global Technology Solutions, Jim Comfort, General Manager, Cloud Services, Lance Crosby, General Manager of SoftLayer, and Patricia Murphy, Vice President, Investor Relations. Welcome to our Infrastructure as a Service Cloud webcast. If anyone on the call did not pre-register or did not receive the presentation, it is available on IBM's website. You can easily find it at the top of our Investor Events page, which is www.ibm.com/investor/events, and a replay of the webcast will be available by this time tomorrow. Now, let me remind you that certain comments made in this presentation may be characterized as forward-looking under the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Those statements involve a number of factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. Additional information concerning these factors is contained in our filing with the SEC. Let me also remind you that the purpose of this call, including the Q&A, is to focus on IBM's Infrastructure as a Service Cloud and associated topics. We will not be giving a general business update or entertaining non-cloud questions. Now, I'll turn the call over to Eric Clementi.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you to everyone that joined today. For those of you that attended our annual IBM Investor Briefing in May, we spent a lot of time talking about the cloud progress we made and our plans for continued aggressive market leadership. In that presentation, we asserted three things. First, cloud is changing the way enterprises work and is transforming the way IT and business processes are delivered. Second, the integration of systems of record and systems of engagement drive new value for clients and opportunity for IBM. And third, we have built the world's most complete cloud portfolio to capture the opportunity from enterprise IT managers, developers, and line of business leaders. All of these points remain true, and we'll reiterate them again today as they relate to our Infrastructure as a Service capabilities. And to make some connections with our broader portfolio and what we've talked with many of you about already, I'll begin with the market opportunity and why we believe cloud is changing business and IT. Then I'll hand it over to Lance Crosby and Jim Comfort to dive deeper on our capabilities and on client use cases. As we said in May, we believe the cloud is really gaining traction with our enterprise clients because it will be the anytime, anywhere flexible platform that enables social, mobile, and big data analytics solutions. And you'll see that the opportunity is both in the private cloud foundations and in the as-a-service world. The drivers behind this demand are the shift to cloud-delivered software. We also see open standards, mobile, and analytics driving a new class of innovation in infrastructure and applications. And service providers are a major channel to deliver these solutions to the market. Behind all the numbers, cloud is about access, speed, innovation, ease of application movement, and ultimately growth. New revenue streams, new partners to collaborate with, and new sources of innovation. In the follow-on webcast for Platform as a Service and Software as a Service, you'll hear some of these same themes again. But the purpose of today's call is infrastructure. Our point of view is that the future will be a hybrid world of traditional IT, private, and public clouds. And this is validated by firms like Gartner that predicts that nearly 70% of the enterprises will pursue hybrid clouds by 2015 already. The world will be hybrid because of the workloads. Not everything will make sense to move to public cloud and vice versa. Now, let's talk more about how hybrid infrastructures are being implemented by clients. Like all terms in cloud, hybrid means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To us, this really means that clients will select a mix of how and where they run their applications based on workload, based on data requirements, based on integration or control perspective. Whether that be traditional IT dedicated on-premise or so-called private clouds, dedicated off-premise, or shared off-premise capabilities. There is no question in our minds that the predominant enterprise consumption pattern will be hybrid. From a practical technology implementation standpoint, for many of our clients, an isolated cloud is not really an option because of their legacy IT investments and in-house data. Therefore, a hybrid environment which connects in-house or outsourced systems with a cloud will be very popular with these clients. And as I said, the world will be hybrid because of workloads. For example, if you have a constantly running high-volume workload, it may make sense to keep it running on dedicated infrastructure. If you have a bursting workload for peak usage times, a flexible shared cloud model may be better. We believe that IBM has built a set of capabilities that puts us in a strong position to capture this hybrid opportunity in the infrastructure as a service market. We have the end-to-end differentiated capabilities that enterprise clients require. First, SoftLayer is unique in the ability to offer both dedicated and shared off-premise capabilities, all of which are API controlled, all of which have consumptive billing, and which have very unique capabilities to be leveraged in the application at stake. Second, we can extend and complement this with our managed services into dedicated on-premise or traditional IT. So clients will then start on this journey either from the enterprise side, trying to extend out and enhance, enrich, or optimize both the economics and the delivery of their application portfolio with cloud-based solutions. In other cases, clients will start from the shared off-premise and take advantage of the rapid ability to develop and deploy completely new applications and new systems of engagement and connect them to the existing backends. We see this taxonomy in every large enterprise engagement. Clients have to decide what they consume as software as a service, what they consume as hosted applications, what they consume at the platform level, and what they consume at the infrastructure level, what they do at dedicated clouds, and what they will keep in traditional deployments. The strength of our portfolio is having this mix, the ability to integrate, the ability to control the timing of the migration, and also have a consistent approach that can span all these models. Clients are looking for the breadth and reach of the portfolio, and we are designing exactly to those needs. On this next chart, you see our complete cloud portfolio with the capabilities we've been building. And this is all of IBM. We are building an integrated IT platform that is designed for speed, but also has the appropriate control, visibility, and security across the end-to-end environment. And it also meets the needs of the various enterprise users, like IT managers, line of business leaders, and developers. I'm going to turn it over to Lance Crosby here in a minute to talk to you about SoftLayer, and Jim Comfort will talk more about pulling SoftLayer together with our cloud-managed services with very concrete client use cases. SoftLayer is the cornerstone of our portfolio, and if we look at what we've been doing in 2014 alone, it becomes very clear how this touches and transforms all of IBM. We have the expansion of the SoftLayer data centers into all major metro centers, which allow us to handle performance requirements, regulatory needs, and compliance around the globe in a unique way. We have the introduction this year of our platform as a service capability known as Bluemix, which was first introduced in February, expanded in March and April, and is now generally available in the last month. And this is a transformative open standards-based platform that makes IBM's vast middleware portfolio available as a service and is also open for third-party partners from around the globe. The foundation on which Bluemix runs is SoftLayer. We have the cloud marketplace, which represents an access point and an integration point for all of IBM to be presented as a service, as well as for the integration of third-party products and services. Obviously, SoftLayer services are available through the marketplace, and we are taking some of their best practices on web user experience and sales to expand into the rest of the portfolio. An additional important part of this portfolio is represented by the cloud business solutions from Global Business Services and by over 150 software as a service solutions within our software solutions group. All of those benefit from the distribution capabilities inherent in our SoftLayer footprint. Now, allow me to close this first section with three thoughts. First, enterprises need all these options. While there are similar use cases and patterns, no two companies will have the exact same needs. That is why we are building up our portfolio across all the as-a-service models. and across the delivery model spectrum of traditional dedicated on-prem to dedicated off-premise or shared off-premise. I don't believe any other company out there can do this like IBM. Second, we are making integration across these models easier with multiple interfaces and optional managed services. And third, when you look at the breadth of enterprise requirements and needs, it is clear that this represents a huge addressable market and opportunity for IBM. I turn it over to Lance Crosby to talk in more detail about SoftLayer. Lance, over to you.
Thanks, Eric. So I will specifically address what SoftLayer brings to the IBM cloud portfolio and the changes that have occurred over the last 12 months, where we have continued to invest and build out our capabilities. What I'm going to cover in the next couple of slides is why. Why SoftLayer is strongly differentiated from the market, and why we're delivering value to IBM clients. We think the differentiation points are threefold: performance, flexibility, and control. First, on performance. On compute nodes, with our bare metal, private clouds, and non-oversubscribed public clouds, we outperform all competitors. We are hyper-focused on stability and reliability while ensuring that we're enterprise-grade. On the storage front, we have the widest array of storage options from low-cost, simple storage to high-performance failover SAN arrays. Layer on top technologies like Aspera for moving high-volume workloads to and from the cloud to create the fastest, most effective solutions in the industry. Third is network. Compute and storage are only as good as the network. Our global backbone allows for the lowest latency, best performance to the content of the cloud for our actual users. And the charts above depict the competitive performance statistics. Second is flexibility. Our clients can mix and match single-tenant and multi-tenant environments. Our clients can mix and match physical and virtual compute and storage environments. Our clients can interconnect with on-premise existing data centers to create hybrid environments. The result, our customers can refresh workloads into the cloud. They can create new workloads in the cloud. They can connect existing workloads to the cloud with a hybrid approach, or they can create disruptive technologies by using the components that we offer up to the cloud. And third is control. Our clients have absolute 100% control. All services are available in all data centers. Customers purchase and place data and services by location. Complete control, complete visibility, complete auditability. All customer policies, whether it's change control, access control, data loss protection, or security, can be mapped onto the SoftLayer platform. Moving on to the next slide, we'll talk about the investment of $1.2 billion that we announced earlier this year. We built SoftLayer infrastructure from the ground up with compliance, security, regulation, transparency, and control in mind. All of these things are important to enterprises and governments worldwide. SoftLayer brought 13 data centers to this partnership. We've added 12 IBM facilities to our network over the last 8 months. And then we're building new facilities. So far this year, we've launched Hong Kong and London. We have two new federal sites, one in Ashburn, Virginia, and one in Dallas, Texas, specifically targeted to the U.S. government. And then our next two sites coming live in the next 30 days will be Toronto and Melbourne, with 10 more sites coming online before the end of the year. In addition to the physical data center sites, we've expanded our global backbone. We started the year with 20 network POPs and all the major carrier hotels around the world, and that will expand to 40 POPs by the end of the year. This global backbone supports all of our data centers and, of course, allows our customers to transmit data from site to site at no charge. Not to get too technical, but this network is also IPv4 and IPv6 fully capable. We are future-proof there. In addition, we have an extensive global DNS system and DDoS mitigation capabilities to keep those customers up for maximum uptime. The result of our expansion this year means that we have more sites, more countries, more network, more direct connections, and more potential customer reach. You may be asking yourself, why is the global network so important? Three words: speed, security, and reliability. Customers demand access to the cloud. Now, if we step back and take a look at what has occurred over the last year since the acquisition, SoftLayer has achieved quite a bit. We've expanded data centers from 13 to 40 sites. We've expanded the network from 20 to 40 network POPs. SoftLayer has become the foundation for BlueMix, which is our platform as a service. SoftLayer has become the foundation for over 100-plus SaaS properties that have been moved or are in the process of being moved, fundamentally allowing them to expand their strategies. SoftLayer has become the platform to bring Watson to the cloud, which includes AI and in-depth analytics. SoftLayer itself has expanded from 1,600 to over 3,000 APIs. What does that mean? That translates into numerous new products, features, and enhancements across the SoftLayer platform. We've added over 1,000 new business partners, and we've brought new technologies to market, including embracing open source solutions like OpenStack. OpenStack is available on SoftLayer as a self-managed solution. It's also available as a fully managed solution, which we call Xena. The last thing I'd like to cover is the changing consumption model of cloud. Historically, IBM's customers have been high touch with relatively long sales cycles. Cloud is changing that. Enterprise customers are seeking a high touch informational sale up front, but they're seeking the self-service after the fact. A blend of the full service and self-service sales model is what IBM is prepared to execute and what we are executing today. The internet-centric can still consume on-the-fly, on-demand, as they always have. And, of course, this is always about convenience to the customer. The customer wants the services consumable, API-driven, and delivered on-demand. And with that, I'll hand it over to Jim to talk about the rest of the cloud portfolio.
Thank you, Lance. Now, let's look at some use cases for how our infrastructure and service capabilities are being adopted. And as Eric mentioned in the beginning, we believe the hybrid model, meaning a selection of deployment and use models for a given enterprise, is the dominant pattern going forward. And this is the sweet spot for IBM's participation in this market and to help transform our clients. To put in context, this is about transformation for clients. It's about providing agility for clients so that they have the ability to grow their business faster and therefore ours with them. Certainly, it is about cost optimization, but the net of all of this is that there is a substantial market opportunity expansion for IBM by participating across the entire spectrum and by having the multiplier of what we consider our managed services on the infrastructure services. Typically, there's a lot of talk about the infrastructure as a service space, but all of that infrastructure as a service from an enterprise context has a 2x to a 6x revenue multiplier when we include the managed services on top. And so if you look at the first example, this is a European-based financial services firm. They required a shared services model that would comply with regulatory statutes in their country. They needed an on-premise dedicated version of this to integrate with their back office systems and for the rest of their compliance capabilities. And we employed our cloud managed service, or our CMS model, to present what we call a light site, so a small pod, centrally managed by IBM, managed with all of the automations that provide both flexibility and scale benefits to a single enterprise client, but where the client can have the portal control and the ability, the self-enablement, to give their employees or their administrators the flexibility that they expect from the cloud platform. We stand this up on their in their data center. We split it into two parts for data recovery and high availability purposes, and then we have this integrated deeply into their systems. So from a client view, this is a transformation. It allows them to move from their legacy environment into a more flexible world. It allows them to expand or contract as required for their business needs. It allows them to have the security of IBM managed service and compliant and our idle compliant processes layered on top of this environment. So this is a more or less traditional model moving to a on-premise cloud model in our hybrid context. If we look at the second example, Now we get somewhat richer context. This is a soft layer-based example. The major European automotive company that is creating a new company, so creating a new business model, expanding their business into a new space to provide rented cars, accessed, found, and contracted for via iPhone or Android apps. They believe down the road people may not even own cars and that this rental and flexible deployment model for their assets may become is both a new opportunity today and perhaps a dominant one over time. In this case, the client needed to have a very high performance experience. They wanted to maintain the experience for their end users, for this mobile user. They're leveraging the software platform, the high performance capabilities, and the network capabilities that Lance just described. And this is being implemented globally. So they are implementing this, leveraging the global expansion in Amsterdam, Dallas, and Singapore. And that expands their reach with a centrally managed operation. So again, this is about transforming their model. It's more efficient operationally. They can extend themselves into more geographies. And of course, as they drive load, then we participate and benefit with them. Now, this is all being managed from a core system, leveraging our IBM assets and our software portfolio, both our DB2 database capabilities and our IBM WebSphere products. Now, in addition to just the deployment of the running service, we have also worked with this company to create a new, what's called a DevOps or a agile development environment for them to work in, which allows them to continuously sense as they build the system of engagement, what are the new features, what are the new requirements, and deploy this more readily into market. So again, we are transforming, in this case with SoftLayer, to a new global deployment for the company, as well as helping create a new business model and creating a new way for them to operate with higher efficiency, all through the deployment of cloud capabilities, coupled with IBM software, coupled with IBM managed services. So this becomes an expanded infrastructure as a service play. Third example, again, is an important one. This is, again, in financial services. And this is Boursorama Bank. Boursorama is a subsidiary of Société Générale. And under the terms of the agreement, Boursorama will move its entire web-based IT to a software-based cloud infrastructure to implement a solution that will provide both continuous business operations and rapid, scalable growth. So this is a front office transformation within the bank. It is deployed on software. They get a higher degree of flexibility in management, but again, we have a significant degree of managed services associated with this opportunity, and we're able to provide both a secure, compliant environment, HA and DR leveraging the software network between two sites, in this case, Paris and Amsterdam, and the ability to have both resilience and integrated connection on a private backbone to their back-end systems. The significance of this cannot really be understated. This is financial services, core business applications on the front office, transforming in a regulated industry with a degree of compliance and security that cannot be provided by any other cloud provider in the world. And so this, the disruption of software, the flexibility of our model, the speed with which this can be implemented, and the ease of transition in that they can take and leverage what they have while building this new capability are all excellent examples of the transformation potential of cloud. And finally, the fourth example I'll walk through, again, to show the market expansion and from an IBM standpoint, lift that this provides is Whirlpool. Whirlpool is leveraging actually all of these models. They have their on-premise capability. They're leveraging a shared off-premise cloud solution for their core application, and they are also leveraging SoftLayer for their development environments and bringing those two together on the network that Lance described, connected to the Whirlpool environment. They needed a flexible scale environment for their e-commerce platform. So again, this is central to their business. It's a core application. They have significant amounts of critical appliance and commercial data that needed to be managed and maintained within the environment. And they needed to have a globally integrated e-commerce platform that would allow them to both scale globally, but also segregate and manage workload or scalability at a local or regional level. So again, since we have consistency in our data centers around the globe for both cloud-managed services and for software, we can take a multinational global reach company like this and scale their business far more effectively. To fulfill, again, you know, that was better implementation of what they had. to fulfill Whirlpool's strategic vision of modernizing that hosting environment. They brought this together with the IBM Cloud that we've integrated with our through our partnership with AT&T on what we call NetBond, which is a virtualized network solution. And we have taken and extended this to build an infrastructure for them in the software shared off-premise world to do their DR capabilities and to actually manage specific product application lifecycle. So I'm not trying to go too deep on the technicals, but if you walk back through these examples and look at the value of an on-premise dedicated environment, if you look at the value of a dedicated off-premise environment, as in the Wursarama or the car company example, and if you look at the combination of both a shared off-premise and a dedicated off-premise world in both the cloud managed service and software, you see the point that Eric was making up front on the value of the richness and breadth of our portfolio. We can respond to all of these combinations and provide a single point of integration for the client. So with that, I've covered a number of use cases. It's a mix of managed or self-serve. The portfolio enables both. And I'll turn the call back over to Eric Clemente to wrap up.
Thanks, Jim, and thank you, Lance. So let me pick up where Lance and Jim left off, and let me reiterate some of their key points. We believe that software provides significantly more flexibility compared to the limited number of configurations competitors offer. For example, with SoftLayer, everything that is available in a traditional data center is available: compute, storage, network, software, operating system, firewall, load balancing. Everything is built on consumption across the board, and it's deployed through one user interface across the network of interconnected data centers, and it can be dedicated or shared. On top, SoftLayer includes technical support, network transfers between data centers, and from client to data centers, as well as 20 terabytes of free outbound data in the base price. As a result, software delivers a great value proposition, and we offer many capabilities that other providers have to charge more for. Now, on top of this, IBM's Cloud Managed Services, or CMS, that Jim talked about, provide high-end options, for example, for AIX and System-P, high-end storage, and then managed services that are provided by our experts. This is critical, as you've seen in the examples, because customers want the economics and the agility of the cloud, but often require resources to manage the environment, or they do not view managing the environment as a strategic core competence. With IBM and IBM Cloud Managed Services, we give them that choice. The IBM Cloud Managed Services environment complements SoftLayer, giving customer a unique and compelling value continuum. So CMS adds access to higher-end hardware and end-to-end managed services, all supported by extensive automation, which, by the way, enables us to drive margin as the business scales. Managed services for some workloads can represent 2 to 6 times the revenue of unmanaged infrastructure as a service, as you heard from Jim. And this, again, translates to more value for customers and more revenue opportunity for IBM. Our cloud managed services have been successful with our base strategic outsourcing clients as an on-ramp to the cloud. It is actually ideal for clients that still require more hands-on help to manage services versus SoftLayer's self-service model. In their combination, these cloud infrastructure offerings share a common backbone, provide true choice for clients, either self-service from SoftLayer or fully managed services. We can cover any combination of hybrid requirements, and therefore think we are going to be able to address a broader market opportunity. Our infrastructure as a service capability in managing cloud workloads globally within the confines of regulatory, compliance, and privacy requirements is another way we distinguish our offerings from some of our competitors. And because these characteristics were built into the architecture design from the beginning, it is hard to replicate as an after-the-fact bolt-on. I just talked about the unique value we can offer clients with software and cloud managed services. there's a direct correlation between the amount of value we can bring to our clients and the profit levels we can achieve. Through every wave of service innovation over the last couple of decades, we have been bringing more and more value to clients through lower cost, better efficiency, and more innovation. And you've seen that play out over time in Global Technology Services financial results. So when we look at cloud in that respect, we think it's no different. We have the opportunity to bring a tremendous amount of value and innovation to our clients once again. We think that this relationship still holds. As we bring more value to our clients, there will be a greater need for a service provider function, a greater need for innovation, greater need for efficiency, and a greater need to support new business models. The more value we can bring, the better for IBM, the better for the financial results. Our overall cloud revenue is growing by strong double digits, and our as a service revenue is doubling year to year. The as a service revenue run rate is now $2.8 billion and continues to grow. It's a very significant business for us, and it's generating returns, even under pay-as-you-go model. In addition to driving revenue, we are also automating core functions, which reduces errors, makes processes more reliable, and enables additional client scaling at a low marginal cost. We are pairing these infrastructure offerings with our platform as a solution offering named Bluemix. I think that having infrastructure as a service and platform as a service solutions within the IBM family enables us to provide comprehensive solutions to clients looking to go to the cloud, whereas some of our competitors need a lot of third parties to complete the solution. Our approach provides a better integration experience, easier contracting and project management for the customer, and ultimately more opportunity for IBM. Now, we covered a lot of material. So to summarize our point of view for infrastructure as a service, first, enterprises will require hybrid infrastructure, and they need options because one size will not fit all. We have the spectrum of offerings that enterprise clients require. Second, with the combination of software and cloud managed services, not only do we have the spectrum, but we have a differentiated value that will set us apart from the competition. Third, we are absolutely price competitive. And finally, and I think it's a big asset, we have the trusted relationship in the large enterprise market. And when you look at the spectrum and what enterprise clients require, we have a large addressable market. With that, Chris, I turn it back to you for Q&A.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Christine, let's open up the lines for questioning, please.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'd like to begin the question and answer session of the conference. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then one. To withdraw your question, press star, then two. The first question comes from Lou Misocha with CLSA. You may ask your question.
Okay, thank you. Some of our research suggests that AWS is having difficulty really trying to penetrate the enterprise, and obviously that's always been IBM's strength. Maybe if you could talk about your win rate there in comparison and how you would rank the competition and just what you're seeing that enterprises are saying about you all versus others.
Well, there's a lot of interest and in the way we compete with Amazon, but there's frankly a number of critical differences between our offerings, and maybe that explains some of the perception that you are seeing filtering through a lot of the hype that you see every day. There's one thing which I hope comes through clearly in this discussion. The software solution is superior technically. It is superior technically because for the enterprise, it has the ability to provision bare metal, and as a result, it is several times faster for very specific and a broad set of enterprise applications. Think about anything that has to do with high input-output operations. The second reason, the amount of granular control, the API methods in comparison to Amazon Web Services, are just superior on our side. Granular management optimization, and including the ability to limit the workload movement and to fulfill complex privacy and regulatory constraints. And then the amount, Lance talked about the amount of configuration flexibility and the amount of technical support that we can give. And remember, all of it, either dedicated or shared, which allows you basically to map your security requirements or your performance requirements into it. That, I think, is the other differentiation. What we also see, and which might explain some of the dynamics that the enterprise and, frankly, the markets and analysts are waking up to, is actually the real value lies in the integration that you can do with the existing. That has never been different in the enterprise. It's becoming clear now. One of the examples that, one of the major examples that Jim just gave you on Whirlpool, that is actually a long-term outsourced client of IBM, and that's what's going on in the outsourcing environment. So when you put all of that together and the ability to draw on the broad portfolio and to give on top managed services on all those layers, I think that is what will make the race.
Great. Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Joseph Parisi with Janney Montgomery Scott. You may ask your question.
Hi. I was wondering, I know that IBM provides end-to-end and they can help on both the traditional and the cloud side, but is there any particular cannibalization taking place? In other words, are you seeing within clients that used to be traditional a move to the cloud, and how does that affect the financial standing of that client?
Well, let me take this in terms of workflow. Now, look, let's just look at the numbers, okay? So our cloud business is growing very fast. Just look at in 2013, $4.4 billion of revenue, which was up 69% year-to-year. Within that, $1.7 billion as a service. If you just look at the first half of this year, still, I mean, this is a very significant number, up over 50% year-to-year, and the other service component delivered inside there up nearly 100% year-to-year. So cloud is, this cloud delivery model is becoming a more significant contributor across the whole business. Now, when you look at the services business in particular, where the business, the part of the business that I run, we have always had shifts in the portfolio. So from the very beginning, we went out and said, we are going to target $7 billion at least by 2015, and we used this term of lift, pure lift versus shift, and there is this shift going on, which, in other words, nothing else than delivering value inside our portfolio. And remember, cloud is not just infrastructure as a service. It's whole opportunity on big data and analytics and all the offerings that we do in mobile and systems of engagement that are also growing fast and help offset the shift. So as these businesses scale, they become more visible to the top line and they will actually drive revenue and margin improvement.
Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Steve Milunovich with UBS. You may ask your question.
Thank you. Yeah, just to continue on that path, obviously you're doing well in cloud with SoftLayer, but what's kind of the net effect on the company? I would assume you're losing some systems integration revenue, some of the traditional outsourcing revenue, and even a little bit of software and hardware traditional business. So from a revenue standpoint, do you think it's going to take a few years for this to be net incremental? And from a margin standpoint, you mentioned that the margins get better as you scale, but obviously you're still early on. So I would have to think that cloud business is lower margin than traditional on-prem business has been.
There is no question that there is an effect of scale that needs to come through in the cloud business, and that there is an upfront investment, and then it's a ratable business. That's the nature of the business. We shouldn't forget that while cloud grows at 28%, if you now take a broad cloud market statement, it is still a small part of the overall spend. This transition obviously will benefit the faster cloud growth, but there is a ton of market out there. There is no reason for infrastructure or for systems integration not to be able to sustain itself.
Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Jim Suva with Citi. You may ask your question.
Thank you. It's Jim Suva from Citigroup here. And by the way, thank you so much for this call. It's very informative. One thing that investors always ask us about, and also in the news and media, is what happens when there's a big price cut? And I know one of your competitors, AWS, kind of publicizes those price cuts. And you had mentioned in your prepared comments, if I heard correctly, IBM is always price competitive, but I'm sure you're not leading the price war. But that being said, is how do you build it into contracts like an annual price reduction, or do customers come back to you and say, hey, I'm getting pitched this from AWS, I want a better price? Or are you seeing CTOs seeing, you know, public price cuts by your competition? And how do you deal with those? Because I don't believe IBM publishes theirs publicly, yet in the public there's a lot of price competition talked about. So if you can kind of talk about pricing and IBM's position, that'd be great.
So hi, Jim. So let me take it first, and then I let Lance comment directly on the price. So what's going on in pricing? First, we want to be, our aim is to be the price performance leader in cloud. So it's price coupled with performance, so it's specific tailored to workload. That's the first point. Second, look, many of the cloud price cuts that you see are unit cut prices that are basically tracking the takedown of the technology, of the cost. In many other cases, you find prices that are basically done with oversubscribing, so delivering less performance. So there are nuances in the prices, and we obviously follow to be competitive. On your question on price-wise, how this is built into contracts, I mean, cloud contracts do not have total contract value concept or minimum requirements. Therefore, they are subject to market, and we match the market. For the rest, I mean, Lance, why don't you comment on pricing, visibility, and what we're doing there?
Sure. So, you know, from software's perspective, all of our pricing is public on the website. So that's available to all IBM customers. And the way we look at pricing is our competitors only offer multi-tenant virtual environments. We offer much more than that. We offer single tenancy. We offer dedicated environments. And so although we are head-to-head competitive in the multi-tenant arena, on the other side, we bring a lot of value and a lot of price performance. And when our customers look at the solution holistically and really build something, because all of our sophisticated users use all of the technologies, and when they do that, there's just little or no comparison to the competition because they don't offer those services.
Christine, next question, please.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Toni Sacconaghi with Sanford Bernstein. You may ask your question.
Yes, thank you. On slide 3, you talk about the market opportunity for cloud through 2017. It looks like you basically believe the infrastructure as a service PaaS market will be about $100 billion in 2017, and it'll be about the same size as the SaaS and BPaaS market at that time. I'm a little surprised by a couple of things. One, how big do you think the infrastructure as a service market is today? I think Amazon's about $3.5 billion, SoftLayer's about $400 million. How big do you think that total market is today, and you really believe it can be $100 billion in 2017? And secondly, why do you think it'll be the same size as the software as a service market, which is probably 5 to 10 times bigger than the infrastructure as a service market today? So I don't know if I have different definitions, but maybe you can help reconcile those forecasts.
So hi, Tony. Let me give you a view here. These data come from Gartner and IDC. So those are the definitions that we use here. Look, how big are they going to be? We know they're going to be very big. When you look at definitional differences, infrastructure as a service in many cases is computed only as the externally computed, so not the on-premise. So that might explain some of the different perceptions here. All we know is it is fast growing, it is very, very big, there's lots of opportunity out there, and the future here is certainly going to be hybrid. I would think the relationship between the three areas is correct, roughly, ballpark. If you think SaaS and BPaaS, I mean, it's huge because it's the whole application market. And if we are to believe what we find in the development environment, if 90% of the new software is built for cloud delivery already in 2014, then I think that's very believable. PaaS, frankly, I would tell you on PaaS, it's a question of how broad you define the function of PaaS, because it's a little bit blurry as a topic. There is still to be seen how big that specific market is and how much it is connected either to the application level above or to the infrastructure level below. Because when you look into the market, you find Azure, that is PaaS and infrastructure. You find Amazon that doesn't make a distinction between the two layers, and you find some specialized PaaSes out there like Heroku or Pivoton that are, let's say, without infrastructure. So this still has to play out, but the good news here is it is big and it's rapidly growing.
All right, Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Amit Daryanani with RBC Capital Markets. You may ask your question.
Yep, thanks a lot. I'm just curious, you know, you guys talked about, in the June quarter exiting X as a service was about $2.8 billion of revenues, almost double year over year. How much of that incremental revenues you're seeing on a growth base at least are coming from your existing customers that are going from off-premise to off-premise, I guess, versus net new customer additions to IBM?
So, I don't know that I have that quantifiable off the top of my head, but let me give you some indication on how I think about it. When we acquired SoftLayer, we certainly acquired a customer base that we were traditionally not catering for, and which traditionally wouldn't have looked at IBM. Okay, so SoftLayer brought a wealth of worlds to us that we had not been attractive to, frankly. Media, games, small and medium business, hosting. That was a sure addition. Now, we see increased penetration, and we drive increased penetration, frankly, of our cloud offerings into the existing base. So if you look at what Jim Comfort talked about, whom I asked to comment, what he sees in the existing base, clearly there is a shift going on in that base, and it's part of delivering the value to them. So, Jim?
So if I look at maybe all three channels, if you will, and as Eric mentioned, the mid-market clients that came with software that we have not historically served, we're somewhere between doubling and tripling the monthly acquisition in that space that is new to us. So that's net new for IBM. That's a good thing. In our sales to enterprise clients of SoftLayer, We're on the order of thousands of clients have engaged, and of those, a reasonable fraction are new, and many are existing, often new spaces in the existing, so that still is net new within that population. And then within our strategic outsourcing base, we have a very systematic program to introduce these capabilities across the base, and it has a very high interest level. They tend to have more complexity of how they want it to fit with the world that they have and the contracts that they have, so it's a little bit slower process, but it is a very pervasive introduction across our base.
Yeah, and thanks, Jim. Maybe one comment here, too. You might have seen in some of the analysts' comments, technical analysts' comments, that the experience that our non-enterprise competition is making in the enterprise is that the sales cycle is actually longer than what you would have in a pure cloud model. And we are not surprised about that because of the complexity of creating a secure and compliant hybrid environment. I mean, we still have to find one enterprise that would be ready to compromise on security and reliability.
Yeah, and I would add to that, if we look at it from a workloads perspective, you know, shifting from inside to outside in the refresh is obviously just a shift of the revenue. But the creation of new workloads in the cloud, big data, analytics, social, mobile, all of that is new incremental revenue. The connection of existing facilities to the cloud, those hybrid models, most of those workloads are new incremental revenue. The creation of disruptive technologies using the components of the cloud, that's new incremental revenue. And, of course, the new Internet of Things, the capturing of all that data that's coming about is all new incremental revenue, coming from the workloads perspective.
Good. Great. Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Brian White with Cantor Fitzgerald. You may ask your question.
Yes. When you're expanding from 20 or so cloud hubs to 40 and investing $1.2 billion, are you actually buying data center space or are you leasing data center space?
We're, in general, continuing the model that SoftLayer has. We will do nothing that changes the operational model. We need it to scale and be the way it is, and so the predominant model is leasing. We do have some IBM data centers and data centers that we own that if they fit the requirements, we'll use those. So it's really about not perturbing the operational model.
Okay, and just as a follow-up, SoftLayer Cloud can also shift workloads over to the public cloud like AWS or someone else. Is that correct, or can I do that?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Christine, next question, please.
The next question comes from Rob Sierra with Evercore. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thanks very much. I guess if I could just dig even further, I guess, into both the pricing and margin topics, which have already been discussed a few times, but particularly with margins, I mean, do you see if you recognizing that near term there's some degree of absorbing pressure, you know, if you look out and as scale builds and you do get margin improvement, I mean, is this the type of thing where you still have this continuous margin headwind relative to IBM's, call it traditional GTS margins, or is this the type of thing where you actually feel like margins ultimately can be in line with core GTS and I guess conceivably even better one day, or is it just the fact that the pricing dynamics are different?
Okay, so what we deliver in GTS is infrastructure, and on top of the infrastructure, we deliver a whole set of managed services. Those managed services, and let me give an example so it becomes clear to everybody. Assume for a moment you take a very price performance infrastructure service from SoftLayer. You will still need monitoring, patching. You might need security services on top. You might even need database management on top. You might need application scheduling on top. So the whole stack of what GTS traditionally does is being refactored. Obviously, obviously, we deliver more value to the client in this. And what Jim alluded to with managed services, those managed services are obviously being refactored to include way more automation, so less labor than before. So when you net out the transition period in which we are obviously scaling rapidly, I mean, we are in this to win it, okay? These are the first innings. So we declared 40 data centers. If we need another 40, we have to put another 40. So, but once you net out the obvious effect, I think that for the GTS stack, this is going to be comparable in margin. And then if you, I hope, by talking about the platform and the whole portfolio, we also gave you the sense of what this infrastructure actually enables IBM to do, which is we are going to have a digital distribution mechanism for everything, for all the investments we are doing on the software part. And in Jim's example about the German automotive company, you could see a hint of that because, frankly, once we put them up in Amsterdam and in Paris, they have high availability. But they are on a network of 40 points of presence, and if they want to expand into other countries, it's a copy. Okay? So with that, I want to give you the sense that I think this is going to be a good environment for us.
Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for joining today. And I'd like to turn it over to Christine to wrap up the call, please.
Thank you for participating on today's call. The conference is now ended. You may disconnect at this time.